Well, happy Mother's Day. It's great to be here and worship together, but also to recognize moms, and we're so thankful for our godly moms and appreciate you so very much. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about the key to a happy home. The key to a happy home. Now, being on Mother's Day, I thought I'd better do this little checkup, self-check. It says, how to know whether or not you're ready to be a mother. Okay? I don't know whether or not you're ready to be a mother. And there's a number of tests here that'll help you determine that. First of all, the mess test. Smear peanut butter on the sofa and curtains. Place a fish stick behind the couch and leave it there all summer. The toy test. Obtain a 55-gallon drum of Legos. If Legos are not available, you may substitute roofing tacks. Have a friend spread them all over the house. Put on a blindfold. Try to walk to the bathroom or kitchen. Do not scream. This could wake up a child at night. The grocery store test. I love this one. Borrow one or two small animals. Goats are best. And take them with you as you shop at the grocery store. Always keep them in sight and pay for anything they eat or damage. The dressing test. This is a test to see if you can dress. Obtain one large, unhappy, live octopus. They turn bright red when they're unhappy. Stuff into a small net bag, making sure that all arms stay inside. The feeding test. Obtain a large plastic milk jug. Fill halfway with water. Suspend from the ceiling with a stout cord. Start the jug swinging. Try to insert spoonfuls of soggy cereal, such as Fruit Loops or Cheerios, into the mouth of the jug while pretending to be an airplane. Now dump the contents of the jug all over the floor. The night test. This is how you do at night. Prepare by obtaining a small cloth bag and fill it with 8 or 12 pounds of sand. Soak it thoroughly in water. At 8 p.m., begin to waltz and hum with the bag until 9 p.m. Lay down your bag and set your alarm for 10 p.m. Get up, pick up your bag, and sing every song you have ever heard. Make up about a dozen more and sing these until about 4 a.m. Set your alarm for 5 a.m. Get up and make breakfast. Keep this up for 5 years and look cheerful. The physical test. Attain a large beanbag chair and attach it to the front of your clothes. Leave it there for 9 months, then remove about 10 beans. And then the final assignment. Find a couple who already have a small child. Lecture them on how they can improve their discipline, patience, tolerance, toilet training, and child's table manners. Suggest many ways they can improve. Emphasize to them that they should never allow their children to run wild. Enjoy this experience. It'll be the last time that you have all the right answers. That's probably about as true as it gets. Going this morning to Psalm 128. Psalm 128, I'm going to give keys to how to have a happy home. Psalm 128. Reading here then, it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. This morning we're going to talk about keys, or how to have a happy home. Father, we ask your blessing as we look at these things this morning. And we pray, Father, you'd open our eyes and allow us to see, Father, that you want us to live a life that is abundant, a life that is wonderful. And Father, you've given us keys for that in your word. And today I pray, Father, that you would bless. I do pray for mothers today. I pray your blessing upon them. I thank you, Father, that we get to minister to them. I think of those today that find today a difficult job day, Father, and I pray your blessing on them. And I pray you'd minister to them, Father, in a powerful way. You're a great God, a wonderful God. You understand exactly what every one of our hearts needs today. And we're thankful for that. You know us intimately and wonderfully. And we pray, Father, that today you'd move upon our hearts and lives and bless us as we gather together here and meet with you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You've heard it said that if mama is not happy, no one's happy. I'm sure you've all heard that. That may be true, but the opposite is not necessarily true. Just because mom is happy doesn't mean the whole home is happy. Just because mom's happy, it takes a whole lot more than that. It takes more to have a happy home. And so this morning I want to talk to you about three parts to having a happy home from Psalm 128. A happy home, first of all, is found in reverencing the Lord. Reverencing the Lord. Verse 1 and verse 4. It says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways, who shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you." Verse 4 says, "Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." Now, the word fear means reverence. It's not like I'm afraid, but I reverence, to honor, to put first in one's thought, in one's deed. That's the idea that's found here. And how do I reverence the Lord? How do I put God first in my life in that sense? Well, first of all, he tells us by understanding who he is, everyone who fears the Lord. We are to seek understanding of who God is, to seek understanding of what he has done. Do we have that sense of awe when it comes to thinking about God? Are we thinking about the fact that he is overall, that he is sovereign, that he's a creator, that he's a sustainer, that our life is not by chance, that he has placed us here on purpose, that he's placed us in this place because he has a reason for that? Do we know that because of him we exist? That's the sense that's there. Do we have this understanding of who God is, but more than that, what God has done? And so that brings us to that sense of awe. That brings us to that sense of reverence in regards to him. Secondly, it tells us here, by walking according to his truth. Walking according to his truth. And the idea being that my daily life, as I go throughout life, I walk according to the truth that God has given us, who walks in his ways. Godly moms seek to walk according to the truth of God's word. What I believe must reflect how I walk, or what I believe is absolutely useless. Now, you've heard it said, and the old counseling principle is, wrong thinking results in wrong behavior, and right thinking results in right behavior. And so godly moms seek the right behavior by seeking the right God. Now, I mean that in an absolutely total reverent way. It's seeking after the only God, the only true God. And as you seek after him, then you begin to live your life in regards to that. And I suggest to you that godly moms probably teach more by their actions than their words. And as a child catches you reading your Bible, a child catches you in prayer, as a child sees that walk and that love for God, that respect for your husband, that whole situation that you live in, that God is first, that daily action, the impact that it has upon children is huge. We more than ever in this world, I suggest you, need mothers who reflect God into their children's lives. More than ever, we need that. All of the pressures of the world are coming. All the influences are coming upon children today. And isn't it wonderful when godly moms decide it's not only my privilege, but it's my responsibility to reflect God in their lives. Number two, a happy home is the result of those who reverence the Lord. It's just a natural result of that. Verse 2 says, "You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be with you." And then it goes on to verse 3. "Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table." Labor is fruitful. All the work, the effort that goes in brings back a result. That's the idea that's there, that there's a fruit, a reward, as it were, a result, as it were, and God blesses those who put him first. God blesses the work of his or her hands who reverence the Lord. Without God, labor really is meaningless. It is fruitless. There's no purpose. There's no result in the end, especially no lasting result. Proverbs 31 says that prosperous are her ways in regards to a godly mom. A godly woman is precious, more precious than riches. That's how valuable she is. And when a godly mom puts God first, the rewards are tremendous. The second half of verse 2 says, you shall be blessed. And it's said in the plural form, you shall be blessed. It's not just this idea of once, but it's this idea of over and over again. And the godly mom who puts God first, who reverences the Lord, brings blessing upon their home. Not just once, but over and over and over again. It's said in the plural because it's the idea of multiple, the idea of blessing upon blessing, heaped upon blessing, and a thousand times blessed beyond understanding. You say, what difference am I making as a godly mother? I suggest to you that there would be a great void, a great absence, if it wasn't for godly moms who stand in the gap. People who reverence the Lord ask the question, why? They don't ask the question, what? And you say, what do you mean by that? People who reverence the Lord and put God first ask questions like, why are we so blessed? Why has God blessed us in this way? Why has God provided for us? We do not understand. People who do not put God first say, what? It's what I have done, what I have achieved, what I have done on my own. But the sense of awe of how God could possibly bless me comes from understanding who God is and what He has done. Verse 3 says, your wife, begins with those words. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Now, we realize that not all men have a wife. We understand that. But he that findeth a good wife findeth a good thing. That's what the Bible tells us. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. There's nothing more valuable than a godly wife or a godly partner. It just is a tremendous thing when God brings a couple together and we see the hand of God upon them. I want to take a moment just to brag about my wife, if I could do that. She'll kill me later, but that's all right. You guys get up in the morning on Sunday morning and you get to see your wife and you know, she's dressed probably, and you come to church together. I'm here long before my wife gets up. So most Sunday mornings, I am just in awe. I see my wife coming down the hall on Sunday morning. Wow, she looks great. And I love my wife, and she's been a wonderful wife and a great wife. I've taken her through a lot of different places and done a lot of different things, and she's always done it with joy. I have such a wonderful, praying, godly wife. Not perfect. I didn't say that. She thinks I'm perfect, but no, she's not perfect. She seeks after the will of the Lord, and I believe if we've had been successful at all in ministry, successful at all, it's because of a praying, godly wife. I hope you feel that same way about your wives today, men. I hope you feel that way about a wonderful wife. Not only that, but a godly mother would be a blessing, a joy. And notice these words, fruitful. Like a vine that is, and I'm going to use it in the right way, out of control, but prosperous in a good way. That's the idea of what she produces and what she does. And a godly mom adds so much to a home. Godly moms bring abundant good into a home, which produces happiness and joy. That's what godly mums do. Down south, they have a plant that's called a kudzu. A kudzu. It's K-U-D-Z-O. Now, it's an invasive plant, but I think it's one of the most beautiful plants there is. Something about these plants that seem to be invasive that just seem to get in. But this thing grows over the road, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. And I think how pretty it is, how healthy it is, how wonderful it is. And godly mums are just like that. They bring a health, a joy, a happiness into the home like no others. Verse 3 says, children like olive shoots. Now, what's it talking about here? Obviously, it's talking about children being produced, but they grow off of the trunk. Olive shoots grow off of the trunk of an olive tree, young, strong, many of them, lots of them as it were. But it's also a sign of blessing because they only grow when the olive tree is healthy, when the olive tree is blessed, and when the olive tree is well watered. And the point being here is that the blessing of the Lord is so overflowing and so wonderful that there's many offshoots, as it were, from the olive tree. A godly mom is that way. Now, God may have a different way of blessing with children. Not every mother can have children. Not every woman can, I should say. Not everyone may get there the same way. And God's way are higher than ours. Just watch this for just a moment. Well, okay, so moving on then, number three, a happy home is a reward, is the reward of those who reverence the Lord. A happy home is a reward of those who reverence the Lord. Verse 5 and 6 says, "The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." The idea being here is that the blessing that you receive, the happiness that you receive, is not just temporal happiness, but a long happiness into the future and as well. And it is the idea of not only a home, but a whole nation is blessed, as you see through this passage, as the home puts God first. How are we rewarded? By walking with God. He tells us a number of things, four things here. Number one, spiritual blessing upon the home. It tells us here in verse 5, "The Lord bless you from Zion," or out of Zion. What does that mean? It certainly means that Zion or Jerusalem is the center of worship, the place where the temple was, the place of blessing and happiness, where the blessings were announced upon the family. Number two, prosperity of Zion. It's a description of the announcement of blessing or benediction of peace that the priest would announce on the individual or family. In other words, God's future blessing over the long haul. And as someone put God first, you have this sense of blessing that's there. Number three, long life. Long life, he says, may you see your children's children. As you put God first, he blesses with long life. He blesses with children, but not only children, but grandchildren in that sense. And so as I put God first, I reverence the Lord. We find that there's happiness in that moment. And then number four, peace in the home and peace in the nation. He says, peace be upon Israel. And then by that statement, he's talking about the individual, but also upon the nation as well. My experience has been this, and I think it's probably true. My experience has been this, that those who put God first in every area of their lives, as a rule, live in peace. There's happiness in the home. But those who only recognize God when in trouble or they need something seem to be always in trouble, seem to be always in need. Peace in the home comes from a faithful father and a faithful mother, a godly father, a godly mother who reverence God and put him first. Godly mothers, praying mothers, make a difference. And I suggest to you, not in just a temporal way, but an eternal way. What an influence a praying mother has. They teach dependence on God, reverence for God, not so much by what they believe, although that's true, but how they live and how they act. Thank God for godly mothers who are not ashamed of the God they serve, but reverence him no matter where they are at or who they are with. Happy homes are a result of reverence homes for God. Putting God first is what brings happiness into life, not only for a short while, but throughout life. That's what produces abundant life. Who is first in your home? Great question. Who's first in your home? Need to ask that question. It's never too late to make that God. What's the key to a happy home? Reverencing God, putting him first in every decision, in everything you do. God will bless your home. Father, I thank you so much for your word today. And I thank you, Father, as we come to you, that you want us to have a happy home. We need to get this right. Jesus came to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. That's exactly what he said. And Lord, it doesn't mean that we have to be miserable, although we have bad days. We understand that. But we ought to have a life that's full and wonderful and great. And that comes by reverencing you, putting you first, trusting in you. And as we do that, we know that there are rewards. We know there's rewards for putting you first in our life. Today, Father, I'm thankful for godly moms who are willing to put God first, who are willing to trust in you, who are willing to take a stand and demonstrate by their very lives who they believe. The difference that godly moms make, the prayer life that they have, that have changed so many things. Many of our lives may have been changed because of the prayers of a godly mother. I pray for moms who are discouraged today. I pray for moms who are downhearted over some things. I pray for moms who think about that child who's not serving God, and I ask your blessing on them. I think of those mothers today who just have a broken heart on a day like today, and I pray your blessing. And I think of those ladies today who are not in a situation where they have children, and I pray your blessing on them. But Father, I am thankful for the blessings you've bestowed. I thank you for godly ladies who stand up and say, I will be a godly mom, and I pray you bring happiness and blessing upon their home in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.